Bob, are you a horror movie guy?
Yeah, I sort of have a horror movie every time I watch myself play golf on video. So that's kind of my own personal horror movie. But in the real answer to your question, sure, I love a good horror movie.
Yeah, no, honestly, what do you shoot, Bob? Like, what are you averaging? What's your handicap?
My handicap is around 10. I don't get a chance to play that much, to be honest with you, because I'm on the road covering golf so much. I don't play when I'm on the road. There's just unfortunately no time. So I play 25 times a year. That's kind of an average year for me. During COVID, it was a little better because I wasn't traveling. But yeah, if I played regularly, I'd probably be a little better. But I go out and have fun and enjoy myself and have some buddies that I play with, just like most of us out here. So there you go.
Well, a 10's pretty good, man. Nothing wrong with that at all. Have you ever played Augusta? Have you ever won that draw?
I have. It took me 19 years to get picked finally. And I did play it, and I shot 85. Now you play the Sunday pins, but you play members tees, so it's pretty short golf course. And it's a great experience. I don't know how else to describe it, but it's probably the greatest experience I've had in golf, and a fun day, and then and a treat. You can put your name back in the draw after 7 years, so I'm going to put my name back in the draw this year.
Who'd you play with?
I just played with three other journalists, two Brits and an Aussie, and we had a great time. We got caddies, and the caddy that I had caddied for three different U.S. presidents, and he had a few stories. He wasn't allowed to tell all the good stories, but he did have a few good stories. He, walking off the first tee, he said, "Mr. Weeks, I'll make you a deal." I said, "For every weed you find here today on the golf course, I'll give you $100, but if there's no weeds at the end of the day, you owe me $1,000. And I started walking along, and I'm looking, and I said, no bet. There wasn't a weed on the property.
No, yeah. Especially, you'd have to find 10 weeds. So that'd be just a break even. So that would be tough for sure. Now, Brooke Henderson, she's obviously had a great start to her career, Bob. I don't think she's at her peak yet. And, she dominated her 13th LPGA victory this past weekend. When you look at, and you've seen Brooke's game probably a lot more than most of us, is it fair to say that she hasn't, hit her peak yet? And what you saw last, like, could this be the year of Brooke? She's always had good years, but you know what I mean? Like, could this be her year?
Well, certainly, yeah, I don't think she's hit her peak yet, but I think she's getting into those peak years. This is her ninth year on tour. She's only 25. But she looks over the last, I would say, year and a half to have really matured. Not so much, I guess as a person and as a golfer, I think she's comfortable with how she makes her living. I think she's comfortable on the golf course. I think she's, as a lot of young players do, both male and female, she's kind of branched out where at the end of her golf day, she can leave that alone and kind of widen her world. And she does some sightseeing and she likes to hike and things like that. So I think that, as strange as it sounds, that's one reason why she's playing better. The other is also she's in the gym a little bit now. She's getting fit. She's getting stronger. And that was a result of a back injury that she had last year. If she putts the way she did last week, and that's always been kind of the weakest part of her game, but if she putts like she did last week, look out, because she could win a whole bunch of tournaments. She is the rest of her game is very, very solid right now. It was a brand new putter, as a brand new clubs in the bag last week. So if she can keep that thing rolling, unfortunately they don't play for another month, so she's going to have to sort of restart the engines. But I agree with you. I think this is going to be a very big year for Brooke.
I was going to ask you, why a month between? Is that normal? Am I missing things, or is this new this year? Like, why such a break?
No, Yeah, it's kind of normal. There's the LPGA sort of gains and loses tournaments every year, and this one tournament at the start of the year is sort of a pro-am. It's sort of their version of the Pebble Beach pro-am. They play with a lot of celebrities, and the sponsor wanted it at this time of year, and it just made sense to try and do it at this time of year. But now the next events they're going to play are going to be over in Asia, so it's a little awkward. The LPGA Tour travels like you wouldn't believe. I mean, these golfers, I think they wear out their passport before they wear out their golf clubs. They just hit so many different countries, so many different parts of the world, and it's a real test for them to try to stay fit and try to stay ready and energized, I guess, to play the game with the amount they travel.
Bob Weeks joins us, time to Sports Leader TSN 1260. Bob, I had to laugh. I want to get the exact wording because it made me laugh. The other day they were talking about you know, Patrick Reed and Rory McIlroy. And clearly, you know what, hey, I saw Rory McIlroy's quote about how he goes, hey, he subpoenaed me on Christmas Eve when I'm trying to be with my friends and family. So he's not necessarily the biggest Patrick Reed fan. But it was Jason Sobel, and his tweet was, Patrick Reed threw a tee at Rory McIlroy, which might not sound like much, but this is essentially his golf's version of a bench-clearing brawl. And yeah. I saw the video, and obviously it wasn't that, but there seems to be more animosity in golf now than ever. Whether Reed used to be there, but now, of course, you got the two rivals. What do you make of it, and do you think it's good for golf?
I think it's good for golf. I did a little hit that's going to be on SportsCenter later, and I said, you know, we're in the middle of the NFL playoffs. You got the Australian Open going on. We're almost up to trade deadline in the NHL. Here in Toronto, we got a massive snowstorm, and here we are talking about golf. So I think in that respect, it's good. I don't know if Patrick Reed has figured out kind of how to read the room. You know, when you arrange for a guy to get a subpoena on Christmas Eve and then you walk over to him, I don't know what he was expecting. If he thought maybe he'd just, you know, get up and give him a hug and say, let's go for some brewskis or something. But it was, he obviously has not kind of figured out that Rory is not that keen on him right now. And it is, you know, it was a bit of a minor incident in terms of when you say he threw a tee at him. You know, if you look at the video, which is on social media, he just kind of tossed it down. But
yes.
Jason Sobel, by the way, is one of the funniest guys that I know out there. But it is Rory's, you know, I think a little hard-edged on what's going on. And I think Patrick Reed really doesn't understand that. And I don't know what it is you have to get through his head to try and figure it out. But this is not the last act in this play, and I can tell you when they get to Augusta, it's going to be even more interesting.
Oh, 100%. And what about golf overall, though? Like, it's funny, we have fans out there, like the thing that you can not like a lot about what Liv does, but the fact that the PGA magically found all this extra money for their players after Liv started illustrates to me that they weren't treating the players and giving them stuff before, so I didn't like that. But, you know, there are some that say it's going to be, you know, you're not going to have best on best as often anymore. Do you think that's going to be a problem long term?
Well, you're not going to have best on best except at the major championships, but you're going to have very good players. Most of them will be on the PGA Tour just because of the size of the field that they have on LIV Golf. And it'll be interesting to see what happens as LIV Golf expands in the coming years. Will more players move over there? Will they be able to develop good players? You know, 2 or 3 years ago, nobody knew who Sam Burns was. Nobody knew who Will Zalatoris was. These are young PGA Tour players who are now winning out there, and they're bona fide stars. So there's always people to replace them and come up, and we're always going to have stars. And they'll probably be on both tours because I think the LIV guys want to attract some college players. As for the money, you have to also take in the fact that the PGA Tour signed a new big TV contract. So they did get their purses loaded up a little bit, but they have dug into their reserves to kind of make sure that the best players are getting rewarded. And compared to other athletes, no matter where they're playing, well, I guess not on LIV, but when on the PGA Tour, they were underpaid, I think, to a certain extent. The problem with LIV, in some respects, is that they have too much money. Nobody's focused on the actual golf. Like, if you talk to the casual golf fan and ask them, tell me about a great shot that you saw on LIV last year, nobody knows. But they know that Phil Mickelson's getting $200 million and Dustin Johnson's getting $150 million. You know, that's what everyone thinks about when they think about LIV right now. And so they've got to try and turn that handle on and make it more about the golf.
Bob Weeks joins us on the Sports Hitter TSN 1260. One last one for you, Bob. As we head into the season, is there anyone on the PGA Tour that you think is poised for a breakout year?
Well, I mean, I don't know if you consider John Rahm. He's already having a breakout year. He's won two and going for three wins in a row. I think you're going to see a massive year from Rory McIlroy. I think he'll win majors, if not multiple majors. If you're looking sort of for the guys off the big name list, there's a player by the name of Taylor Montgomery who's in his first full year. He's played, I think, 7 events and has yet to miss a cut. He's had a whole bunch of them inside the top 15. He's a young player. He's a big, tall guy. Can hit the ball a mile and putts well. So he's a guy you might look out. And there's a Canadian by the name of Adam Svensson who won at the end of last year. He's from out in BC, and he's a really good player. And I think now that he's got one win under his belt, he could notch a few more. And the same thing for Taylor Pendrith. He doesn't have a win yet, But this guy can absolutely mash the ball. He's from Richmond Hill, Ontario, and he's a guy I think you'll see win before the end of the year.
Ooh, awesome. Great stuff. We appreciate it, Bob. Have a good one, my man.
Anytime. Take care, guys.